Well, praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord, Pastor Raspberry. God bless you. What is a mystery? Thank you. What is a mystery? A mystery. You know, I used to like something that's not understood, something that's kind of back off the beaten path. I've watched a mystery. You ever watched what they call a mystery on television, where what was the lady's name that she'd always solve the problems? Grace, Nancy, whatever her name is. Murder, She Wrote. And she'd put it all together, and somebody's hiding back in the corner in the dark there because they did it. And everybody's been running this way, but she's saying there's something about this cup here. This cup shouldn't be here. And you go, cup, what? It's just a cup. It's a saucer. Say, no, there's something about this cup. And she'll start investigating around the cup, and then she'll bust the murderer and the mystery, and you'd be the last one to think that it would have been the one that she found. Mysteries. Do you like mysteries? Do you like, well, it's hard to say murder mysteries. Thank God they're just movies. But typically a mystery is a murder mystery. But the real mystery is what God did. The Bible says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then 1 Timothy 3:16. It says that God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. Now, as we said last week, this is a series of sorts. But if we said last week, we've heard so many years about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. And we've heard it so many times until we've almost sort of just taken it for granted. Yeah, he came in the flesh. He was God's son. He came in the flesh. La, 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 la. But during that time, it was a great mystery, especially for the Old Testament writers, the prophets, and those that knew the law. And they were always trying to figure out what this coming and who this Messiah would be. I could see them sitting around the temple, the great teachers, and groups of people sitting around as the teachers expound on the Old Testament, trying to show them just who this Messiah would be and when this Messiah would come and by what means this Messiah would come. And he's going to come and he's going to deliver Israel from her enemies. That would have been the expectation. To deliver Israel from her enemies. He's going to be a mighty, mighty, conquering, liberating Messiah. And when he came as a small child, helpless at the beginning, wrapped in swaddling clothes, in a feeding trough. We cleaned it up, we called it a manger. But it's a place where cows eat their food, little trough. And that was his first bed, was a feeding trough. And of course, he had his challenges trying to convince others who he was. And they never seemed to accept it, many of them, which many did, thank God. But those that were in charge, they fought him from the beginning and until his crucifixion. And even at his grave, do you know what they did? They paid off the people that kept the grave and said, I tell you what, here's a lot of money. Just say that they came and stole his body away, and we'll secure you. Don't worry if anything comes up about this. We'll secure you. We'll speak up and say, yeah, we agree. And they lied all the way through the end. And even this day, I'm sure there's a group that says, well, those people say that he rose, but actually his body was stolen, and I can go and show you exactly where he was buried and where he still remains. But the mystery of godliness that we'll talk about this week is the fact that he came in the flesh. The Bible says in Romans 8, says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled or complete in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law. And here's a real important kicker here. That it might be fulfilled or made complete in us. And then it puts a caveat, who hear and follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. That it might be fulfilled in us who hear and follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. That is, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It might be fulfilled or complete or seen or brought to bear in us who hear and follow the directions of the Holy Spirit and not the directions of the flesh. That's where you see the righteousness of the law exhibited, even in us, if we hear and follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. And it agrees completely with our opening text in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says that God or Christ was manifested in the flesh. What Jesus did when he came upon the scene was that he himself manifested the invisible God to mankind. That'd be us, y'all. That's us. You know, he's still doing that. He's still manifesting the invisible God to us. He's still showing him to us. We're still coming to realize so many, you know, I don't know if we'll ever hit the bottom of this well, but we're continuing to learn more and more and more and more about this invisible God. It's almost a contradiction. He's making seen that which is unseen. If the invisible is brought into the visible. And how's it done? John tells us in John chapter 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now think with me for a minute about this, because this is other dimensional speech. It's other dimensional existence. Think about it. And we've read this 1 John so many times. And we said, yeah, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, same was in the beginning with God, all things made by him, without anything made that was made. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. I can't rap, y'all, but that's as close as I can get. I know you know. But this is other dimensional speech here. It's other dimensional existence of the Lord Jesus referred to as the Word in John chapter 1. It says that the Word was with God. The Word was with God. It was with God. And then it says that the Word was God. Okay. Have y'all thought about it? The Word was with God and the Word was God. This is a different dimension than what I mean, I can be with you, but I can't be you. Not in this dimension, we can't. But he's already, even in John chapter 1, and we read it all the time, y'all, this is a mystery. It's a mystery. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In our everyday language, in our everyday thinking, we cannot be someone and also be that person. Not typically, unless you got some rooms upstairs that's empty, but other than that, amen. Okay. But John is alluding to a different reality that most men and women miss when considering God, and that's the spiritual world of existence. And folks say, well, I know this, and I've seen that, and I've seen this. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, that is if you start thinking about it and you don't want to think too hard, you just want to accept it, actually. But if you really start putting it through your little thinker, you start going, well, that doesn't even fit well with the English language. That's grammatically incorrect. That's not how you make a sentence. You don't mix all that together in a sentence. You need to make a paragraph up there and then come down, do something different, but not this. But in this world, it's like that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was. He said it. He said it, and it was. That's a key for us. He said it, and it was. So, what does that say to you now, in your present existence? If God said it, then it's true. Now, here's where I get caught on some of the what God said. I've got a spiritual lifetime of bad teaching. A spiritual lifetime of bad expectations as well. I have been taught different things about speak it and it's yours, and what you say you have, and you don't want to say this, and you speak it that way. And I've gone down that road, and many of the things that I've heard, I've really wanted it to be so. And so I have internalized a lot of those things that were not necessarily in line with the truth of the gospel. Do you know, it takes a long time to internalize that, and it takes a long time to get it out of you, too. Yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight, but I can tell you some things can dig in so deep, and many times we don't even realize where some of this stuff is coming from, because it's burrowed so deep in our souls. It's so deep in there, and there's got to be an uncovering and a rooting out and a complete deletion of this information that's deep down inside of us. Brother asked me a question, do I believe God, or do I believe what I want to believe, or something like that? And I believe the answer was something like, I should believe God. And we talked about it, and most folks would say, well, I believe God. Well, I do most of the time. But truth is, sometimes my actions say that I don't. But I should believe him. And so that puts me on a better footing, because at least I'm able to recognize that I'm not there yet. I'm not completely walking 100% in him. So I'm the first one. How many know what I'm talking about here? I'm the first one to tell you that as much as I love him and as much as I want to walk, do you know what you would see if Pastor Leroy was walking in every area of this word of God? I mean, this was, we can't see that. Amen. It would be something. It would be something. With the little bit that I have, I still see great things being performed in my life and in my environment. With the little bit that I have. And so imagine even more and more. I'm just encouraging you to begin to believe his word. Begin to walk into his word and walk in his word. And so I've heard people say from time to time, I know God. I know God. But how does one know him? How does one know God? Jesus clearly said to the woman at the well in John 4, he said, God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what that means? We've heard the words time and time again, but do we know what that means? Do we really know what that means, to worship him in spirit and in truth? Jesus told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. And so, Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Now, we look at it in our vernacular, in our world experience, and say, okay, the way means this way, that way. It's a matter of direction. Truth is truth. Say, well, I have something that's perplexing me, and I need to know what the real deal, what the truth is about any kind of a situation you find in life. And I say, well, you'll find the truth in Jesus. You say, well, no, this has to do with my job. And it has to do with the duties that they've given me. And I say, yeah, you find the truth in Jesus. And we struggle with that. Because, wait a minute, Jesus is a person, but this is not personal. This is personal to me, but no. He said, what did he say? I am the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. The biblical fact that Jesus is the only way, and it's because of this that the biblical God is hated in the world of unsaved men and women. He's hated. Because you represent him, you are hated too. They might not say it to you. You're in the right place. Good thing you're not in one of those countries that outlaw Christianity. You would see the outgrowth of that hate. But the laws protect us. Thank God for America and the laws of America. But you do know that if people didn't have these laws, you know what they do for us, right? They do the same thing that the rest of the world does to hated Christians. But the truth remains, and this is the truth, to know Jesus is to know God. You want to know God the Father? You got to go through Jesus. You must know Jesus to know God. And many different groups in Revelations, and they say, well, this is our God. We believe in God, but we don't believe in that. There's one group that says, we accept Jesus as a prophet, as a great man, but not as the Son of God. There's a group that says, going back to Abraham, when Abraham was on the mount to sacrifice his son, it wasn't Isaac that he sacrificed, it was Ishmael. I won't even bother to call the name of the group out, I've done it before. But they say, otherwise, we're the same. We believe in the same God, and we believe the same, but there's no sameness in that belief. Jesus Christ is who he said he is, or he's not. And he is. He is the Son of God. And for a person to know God, the Father in heaven, who is a spirit, that person must, of necessity, first know Jesus, who is the way to the Father. He's the way. Folks say, well, I have spiritual experiences as well. I have spirits that come to me, and they're good spirits. Yeah, they're good, bad spirits too. I will never discount the existence of spirits in this existence. I will never say that Madam Hoosie does not, Madam, read your palm. Y'all know Madam Hoosie, read your palm, come here. I will never say that she's not plugged into something. She is. But what you need to know is, what is it that she's plugged into, and where is she getting her information? Now, you got some will say, oh, she's fake. She's just guessing. Now, sometimes she's not guessing. There's biblical proof that people do talk to these spirits. They call them familiar spirits. Spirits that are familiar. They'll be familiar to you or familiar to me. And I'll die, and something will go to my wife and start talking to her about something that I said when we first met, and she'll say, Raz, is that you? And I think we'll say, yes, it's me, darling. Let me guide you from this point forward. Sweetheart, anything I haven't helped you with now, when I'm gone, don't listen. Amen. Don't say, hey, be careful over there. Don't listen. We don't want anything from the dead. We don't want necromancers to rip us off. We need to go straight to Jesus. We need, all of our information needs to come from Him. Everything that Jesus is, God is. He told the woman at the well that the hour cometh and now is that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It says that the Father seeks such to worship Him. He is looking for those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in truth, T-R-U-T-H, that is, whatever you are, you are. Wherever you are, you are. Are you hearing me? Wherever you are, you are. I've heard a person say, baby, fake it till you make it. That's the dumbest thing and the dumbest spiritual advice I have ever heard in my life. Fake it till you make it. Do you know that your enemy ain't faking it? Your enemy is 100% bloodthirsty for you. And you better say, I've got a problem in this area, God, that I need you to help me with and I need you to fix. Don't be coming in here dancing up and down saying, I'm okay. Thank God I'm free. And you bound. Just say, I'm bound right now. I've got a problem here. Lord, I need you to fix it. Whatever you do, don't fake it. You know why? Because if you fake it, you're not going to make it. You are not going to make it if you fake it. In truth, be truthful about it. Be upfront about where you are. I know it might be a little hard to swallow, but it is, as they say in today's vernacular, it is what it is. I know, he hates that. But it is. It's old, isn't it? Kind of cliche. But in other words, you are where you are. And that's that. Now, you want to be somewhere else? Get with God and work on it between you and Him. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. Now, the Word who was with God and who is God, who was with God, and the Word who is God, that Word, now God is a spirit. Okay, come on. It's all right. God is a spirit. Are y'all there? Or are you going home?
No, we're here.
Okay. God is a spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, the Word was a spirit. They're going to say amen. The Word was a spirit. But the Bible says that the Word became flesh. Look at this. That's a mystery of godliness. In the beginning, when God made man, God formed man of the dust of the ground. Formed means He formed it like you clay. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that form, man, became a living soul. That man, he woke, he got up, and he became a living soul. He became aware in his soul, in his mind, emotion, and will about his environment and about different things that were around and flowers and animals and dirt and water and air. He became a living soul and he was placed over all of the things that he became aware of. That was the making of the first man. But this last man came differently. This last man, the Spirit of God at the beginning brooded over as a hen would brood over her chicks. But the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep, and God breathed. But this last man, it was different. The Spirit of God, if you will, brooded over Mary by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God brooded over Mary. It overshadowed Mary. And the Spirit, the definition of Spirit is wind, as in a blowing. And just as he blew and breathed into the nostril of that first man, he breathed somehow into Mary's existence. And Mary came up pregnant. And so that thing, as the angel said, that thing which shall be conceived in you shall be called the child of the highest. And so this Jesus came from the Spirit, entered into the womb of Mary as a small child, grew the 9 months, and was born. The Word of God. The Bible states that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's other dimensional, saints. It's completely other dimensional that went on. It's a mystery. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now, it's important to understand, and it's important for us to realize that the flesh that Jesus became was not fallen flesh. It was not sinful flesh. He was not born of a fallen human nature, but he was born as a human. His flesh speaks of its humanness, meaning he was 100% God. And so another thing that might get us off is when we're thinking about Jesus, we say, well, he was born just like everyone else. He came into the world like men, but his father was not like others. He was not born with the fallen nature of Adam. He was not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. So his father was God. That is a mystery, that God, the Word, became flesh. And see, the scripture says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And Jesus made a statement and said, I do always those things that please him. So if he does everything always that pleases him, then he's not in the same flesh that we're in. Because he made the statement, I do always those things that please him. So what is the mystery of Christ being manifested in the flesh? It's a great mystery that he was manifested in the flesh. The Spirit moved, impregnated this lady, and she brought forth a son. And number one, they didn't name him Joseph, which was the custom. They named him Jesus, which was not the custom. And he went through everything that a young Jewish boy would go through, only his father was God. And he knew it. And he was subject, and he kept every law and every ordinance. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's it. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive in the spirit. He's called the firstborn of many brethren. It's a completely new creation. It's a completely new group of men, a completely new group of women, not like anything that ever existed in all of God's creation we are, because we are like him. And in the end, we shall be like him. And here now we walk around and we're continuing to realize, and that's why I say, just be honest with where you are. It's the honesty that gets you to grow. But when you pretend, you're not going anywhere. But you got to recognize it. The Bible says that we should come as little children. If you don't come as a little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. You must admit the truth. Do you know that typically children are very, very brutally honest when they're very young? Do you know how they learn to lie? That's us. We tell them, now tell me the truth. Did you do that? They say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go sit in the corner. Yeah. I don't like sitting in this corner, but I got to sit here. And then after a while, you say, did you do it? And they say, no. Well, who did it? I don't know. Well, nobody in the house but us. Silent. And they learn that. And then the older we get, you do know, the more sophisticated and better we get at it. And the Bible says, to thine own self be true. We shouldn't lie. When you lie to yourself, that's a stupid lie. You know that, right? Yeah. That's one of the dumbest lies that anyone can ever tell, is to lie to yourself. So don't lie to yourself. Be honest. We've got a life ahead of us, and you know, only God knows how long we've got. Every hair of your head are numbered, and God knows that number. And when it's done, it's done. Turn over to Hebrews 1, and we'll finish off with Hebrews 1, verse 1. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. No manner of studiousness can reveal him or the Father to you. He's revealed according to his will and by his Spirit. We simply need to come to him as little children so that we can know him in the manner that he wants us to know him and how he wants us to know the Father. Study is good. It really is good. I study a lot. But we have to pray and submit to him. It's a mystery of godliness. And the other mystery, God was manifest in the flesh. Now he lives in the flesh, which is our flesh. He lives in us by his Spirit. That's a great mystery, that he lives in us. Let's take advantage of that. And let's be available to him. How many are with me to be available to the move and the presence of God in your lives? So begin to speak to him. Begin to listen. Listen, talking is great. Sometimes you can't hear his answer because you're always talking. Giving him your list. I need this, Lord, my car broke, my house messed up, my wife and this, my mother this, my children that. When he might give you just one word that'll take you down the exact path where you need to go for the solution of all of that. So make yourself available to him, saint, because he's waiting to bless you. Amen? Well, thank you, Lord, for this word today. We thank you that you did come and that you were manifested in the flesh and that you showed us. You showed us the Father. And it's easier to say but difficult to comprehend because it's other dimensional, Lord. It's a whole different dimension of existence. And we are a part of that existence. And teach us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and to not be affected by the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.